Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 15th of May, Sudan's military leaders and the opposition alliance agree to a three-year transition period to civilian administration. Pope Francis shines the light on the plight of migrants fleeing war and poverty. And the Lord's Prayer is the focus of the Pope's catechesis during the general audience in St. Peter's Square. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Sudan's military leaders announced an agreement with the opposition alliance for a three-year transition period to a civilian administration. The Transitional Military Council said the alliance would have two-thirds of the seats on a legislative council. However, the two sides are yet to agree on a sovereign council, the top tier of power where both want a majority. Sudan has been ruled by the military council since last month's toppling of President Omar al-Bashir. Protests that led to his downfall have continued with a huge sit-in outside the military headquarters to demand full civilian government. Hours before the latest deal was announced, at least five protesters and a member of the security forces died in clashes in the capital, Khartoum. In Libya, where fighting continues in and around the capital, Tripoli, thousands of migrants remain trapped in detention centres and camps. The fighting was triggered by an assault over a month ago, led by self-styled Libyan National Army commander Khalifa Haftar. Libya is the main port of departure for migrants seeking entrance into Europe. And according to a recent deal with the Italian government, it's where boats of illegal migrants are returned after having been denied entry into Italy. Meanwhile, the vessels continue to sink and scores of men, women and children continue to lose their lives in the Mediterranean Sea, as denounced by Safa Maseli from the International Organization for Migration.
On 10th of May, a boat that left from Zuara in Libya capsized off the Tunisian coast. 16 survivors who were rescued by fishermen reported that 59 have died. Most of them were Bangladeshi. A day after that, there was also another boat that had departed, we believe, according to testimonies from the migrants, from the same location. We think there's an urgent need to find legal and safe pathways for migrants or asylum seekers to reach their destinations. We believe that Libya is not a safe port and therefore migrants should not be turned from sea to Libya. The death toll after the incident on Friday in the central Mediterranean has risen to 316 since the beginning of this year, and we consider that that's an alarming number.
And that was Safa Maseli from the International Organization of Migration speaking there to UN News. And Pope Francis today invited eight migrant children who recently arrived in Italy from Libya to take a ride with him on the Pope Mobile as he made his way through St. Peter's Square for the weekly general audience. Sister Carmelan tells us more.
Making his way to the podium in front of the Basilica before the general audience today, Pope Francis asked the driver of the Pope Mobile to stop to allow eight children to jump aboard for a ride. They were all wearing T-shirts that said, "Welcome, Protect, Promote and Integrate," the appeal coined by Pope Francis in his message for the World Day of Migrants and Refugees. The director of the Holy See Press Office told journalists that some of the kids had arrived in Italy from Libya through a humanitarian corridor last month, while the others reached shore on a migrant boat some time ago. He said they belong to different nationalities, including Syrian, Nigerian, and Congolese, and are currently hosted together with their families by an association on the outskirts of Rome. The self-funded Humanitarian Corridors project, which Pope Francis has repeatedly upheld, is carried out by the community of Santa Egidio in collaboration with the Federation of Evangelical Churches and the Waldensian and Methodist Churches. It aims to avoid dangerous migrant journeys on boats in the Mediterranean and at the same time fight human trafficking. It is able to grant people in vulnerable conditions legal entry on Italian territory with humanitarian visas and the possibility to apply for asylum while responding to national security requirements, because visa issuing procedures demand all the necessary checks by Italian authorities. Once in Italy, the refugees are welcomed in houses at the expense of the associations involved and are offered Italian language lessons, school enrollment for the children, and activities that promote integration and the search for employment. I'm Sister Carmelan.
The U.S. State Department today ordered the departure of non-emergency employees from Iraq. The order came amid rising tensions between the U.S. and Iraq's neighbor, Iran. A communique said staff at the embassy in Baghdad and the consulate in Erbil must leave as soon as possible on commercial transport. This after the U.S. military said the threat level in the Middle East had been raised in response to intelligence about Iran-backed forces in the region, contradicting a British general who said there was no increased threat. In Northern Ireland, Christian leaders release a joint statement encouraging substantive development in talks between political parties after having met with party leaders in Belfast. Joachim Teigen reports.
A fresh window of opportunity, albeit born of tragedy, the leaders of the main Christian denominations said about the current inter-party talks in Northern Ireland. Together, church leaders in Northern Ireland released a statement after jointly having met with participants in the inter-party talks at Stormont House in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The background of the talks is the murder of journalist Lyra McKee by a member of the new IRA on the 19th of April. The reactions in the wake of the murder pressured politicians to once again attempt to solve the Stormont impasse, a collapse in political negotiations which has caused Northern Ireland to be without a government for 2 years, thus being governed from Westminster. In their statement, the church leaders jointly expressed that their hope and prayer is that the talks will result in the establishment of a sustainable, power-sharing executive. In our churches, they said, we are witnessing daily the damaging and continuing impact of not having a functioning devolved government. They added that now is the time to solve the impasse, for the sake of all those who rely on a well-functioning government for their well-being. They challenged the different parties to meet one another with a spirit of accommodation for the sake of the common good, adding that the Lord Jesus calls us all to go the extra mile for one another and to do what is necessary for the greater good. This is Joachim Teigen.
Today we mark the International Day of Families, established by the United Nations, that recognises the family as the basic unit of society. In view of the observance, Caritas Europa is urging future members of the European Parliament, standing for elections in less than 10 days' time, to promote the family by defending its values and interests. Robin Gomes reports.
In a statement on the occasion of today's International Day of Families, Caritas Europa, which is a member of Caritas Internationalis, the global federation of over 160 national Catholic charities, is urging the European Union and its member states to produce family-friendly policies that benefit all, saying it is a necessity for the future of Europe. It stressed that the family is the basic cell and an essential pillar of any fair society, along with an inclusive labour market and adequate social protection mechanisms. The European Parliament elections, which take place every 5 years, is scheduled from May 23rd to 26th this year. Each of the 28 member states has a fixed number of members of European Parliament to be elected. Caritas Europa, the network of 49 national Caritas units of 46 European countries, laments that across the continent, families are facing poverty or social exclusion in terms of access to housing, education, healthcare, and decent work, and are struggling to ensure better future for their children. Emphasizing that investing in family is investing in our societies, it is calling for urgent policies that can address Europe's ongoing demographic decline and that can tackle the increasing levels of poverty and inequalities. Caritas Europa recommends that future MEPs help improve the living conditions of the most deprived families, build on and further develop the achievements of the previous parliament, such as in reducing child poverty and the Work-Life Balance Directive. In this way, it says, they can contribute to ensure that nobody is left behind and that all children can enjoy a bright future. I'm Robin Gomes.
And greeting members of the International Jewish Committee for Interreligious Consultations. On the sidelines of today's general audience, Pope Francis said dialogue is the best way to build tolerance and respect between different faiths. Lydia O'Kane has more.
Pope Francis took time at the end of his general audience on Wednesday to greet members of the International Jewish Committee for Interreligious Consultations, which is holding its 24th meeting, which the Pope described as being like a general assembly of all those professionally engaged in Jewish-Catholic dialogue. In written remarks handed to the committee members, the pontiff recalled that from the promulgation of Nostra Aetate until now, Jewish-Catholic dialogue has borne good fruit. We share a rich spiritual patrimony, he said, that can and must be ever more esteemed and appreciated as we grow in mutual understanding, fraternity and shared commitment on behalf of others. Pope Francis noted that this meeting included a number of key issues. It is fitting, he said, that you deal with timely issues such as our approach to refugees and how best to help them, the fight against the troubling recrudescence of anti-Semitism, and concern for the persecution of Christians in various parts of the world. The Pope also offered words of encouragement, saying that dialogue is the way to better understand one another and to work together in building a climate not only of tolerance but also of respect between religions. Our strength, he added, is the gentle strength of encounter, not of extremism, emerging in certain quarters today, which leads only to conflict. One never errs in seeking dialogue. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Meanwhile, Pope Francis focused his catechesis at the general audience on the final petition of the Lord's Prayer. He said, Jesus is at our side to deliver us from all manner of evil, as Devon Watkins reports.
Christian prayer does not close its eyes on life, said Pope Francis. It is a filial prayer, not an infantile one. The Holy Father made those remarks in the catechesis portion of his weekly general audience. Reflecting on the final petition of the Lord's Prayer, he said Jesus invites us to ask God to deliver us from evil because life is fraught with difficulty. Pope Francis reflected at length on the presence of evil in the world.
I libri di storia sono il desolante catalogo di quanto la nostra.
History books, he said, are a bleak catalogue of how our existence in this world has often been a failed adventure. But the Pope noted the person who prays is not blind and sees clearly that evil is in contradiction with the mystery of God.
L'ultimo grido del Padre nostro è scagliato contro questo male.
The last cry of the Our Father is hurled against this evil, he said, and covers its full range. This includes mourning for loved ones lost, the suffering of innocence, slavery, exploitation, and the cries of children. Pope Francis said Jesus' experience of death on the cross fulfilled the prayer he taught his disciples, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No matter how much we are subjected to wickedness, he said, Jesus will be at our side to save us.
Così la preghiera di Gesù ci lascia la più preziosa delle eredità.
Jesus' prayer leaves us the most precious inheritance, he said, the presence of the Son of God who delivers us from evil.
Questa è la nostra speranza.
This, he said, is our hope. I'm Devon Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. My thanks go to Gaetano Paradisi Miconi in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.